over the life of his or her mortgage just by following the simple program. And if that's not enough incentive, think about being debt-free and potentially ready to retire up to 10 years sooner than you'd planned. Why this works. What happens when you make a payment every 2 weeks, instead of once a month, is that you end up making one extra month's worth of mortgage payments each year. By paying half of your monthly payment every 2 weeks, over the course of a year, you will make 26 half payments, the equivalent of 13 full payments, or one more payment than there are months in a year. I said before that this was a secret system. To be honest, it's not really a secret anymore. Lenders have known about it for years, and recently the media has picked up on it. Like pay yourself first, it's a tactic people may know about, but don't actually use. The $119,000 difference. On page 20 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file, view the file called Monthly Payments versus Biweekly Payments. This table contains a schedule of payments made on an existing mortgage of $250,000. It is called an amortization schedule. As the schedule illustrates, a 30-year mortgage with an interest rate of 8% will cost you a total of $410,388.12. And that's in interest. Those are the charges over the life of the loan. On a biweekly basis, the same mortgage will cost you a total of $291,226.69 in interest. In other words, switching from a regular mortgage payment to a biweekly plan will save you over the life of your loan more than $119,000. To find the calculator that produced these amortization tables so you can plug in your own numbers, and you can do this all for free, you can go online and visit bankrate.com. That's BANKRATE.com. First, click on calculators, then click on mortgages, then click on get a biweekly mortgage payment plan. This will take you to the best free calculators I've found on the internet. You can quickly run the numbers for your own mortgage and see in black and white why it makes so much sense to switch to a biweekly payment plan. How to set this up? To set up a biweekly payment plan, all you need to do is call your lender, the bank that holds your mortgage. Tell them that starting next Friday, you want to start paying your mortgage on a biweekly basis, and so you want to know if they offer a biweekly mortgage payment plan. Remember, this does not mean that you are refinancing or changing your mortgage. All it means is that you're interested in signing up for a service to pay off your mortgage in a slightly different manner. Namely, one that will allow you to make your mortgage payments on a biweekly basis. There's a good chance your bank or company that holds your loan offers such a program. At Wells Fargo, for example, it's called Equity Enhancer. Here are some of the powerful benefits of an Automatic Millionaire biweekly mortgage payment plan. It saves you thousands of dollars in interest payments, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars. It puts you on a forced savings system. It makes your cash flow easier because you pay your mortgage every time you get paid. You'll never have to worry about paying your mortgage late because it's automated. It cuts years off your mortgage. All it takes is 5 minutes. Setting up one of these programs yourself is really pretty darn easy. If your mortgage is with one of the larger banks, they will probably refer you to an outside company that runs the program for them for a one-time setup fee of $195 to $395, plus a nominal transfer charge that, depending on the company you use, ranges from $2.50 to $6.95 every 2 weeks when they automatically move your money from your checking account to your mortgage account. This outside company will totally automate the entire process for you. What to watch out for? A lot of companies now provide these services. I recommend that you try to use one that is referred to you by your bank. That way you can be reasonably sure that you're dealing with a reputable firm. One of the biggest such firms is a company called Paymap Incorporated. It currently provides this service for more than 30 financial institutions, including 6 of the nation's 7 largest banks. As of this recording, Paymap charges a setup fee of $295 and $2.50 per transaction. They call this program Equity Accelerator. You can contact Paymap directly by going to their website, paymap.com, or by calling 1-800-209-9700 to see if they can help you. What to ask? The three most important questions to ask a service company before you sign up for the biweekly mortgage plan are these. What do you do with my money when you get it? When do you actually fund the extra payment towards my mortgage? How much will it cost me to use the program? These three questions are critical, and here's why. Some companies hang on to the extra money you're putting towards your mortgage and actually send your mortgage holder in a lump sum once a year. That's not what you want. You want a company that makes extra payments to your mortgage as soon as possible. This way, your extra payments are paying down your mortgage faster. You also want to understand how the costs involved compare to the savings you will realize so you can make an informed decision. Why can't I just do this myself? Logic would tell you that you should be able to set up a program like this yourself. Unfortunately, you can't. If you split your monthly mortgage payment in half and send it in every 2 weeks, the bank will just send it back to you because they don't know what to do with it. Just to be sure, you can call your bank and ask. But in my experience, they say, nope. Isn't this expensive? Let's do the math. If you're paying $2.50 per transfer every 2 weeks, that comes to roughly $65 a year. Over 22 years, it totals just over $1,430, not including the setup fee. Figuring that the transfer fee will probably go up a little over time, there's really no question that a biweekly mortgage system will cost you thousands of dollars. So if it's going to cost you a few thousand dollars, why do it? The answer is that the few thousand dollars you're spending will save you tens of thousands of dollars, if not more. In the simple example I discussed earlier, you would have saved more than $119,000 over the life of your mortgage. Assuming you found the most expensive company out there to do this and spent $10,000 to run this program over 22 years, you're still ahead some $109,000. More realistically, with a company like Paymap, you would spend closer to $2,000 and save $117,000. Now, trust me on this. Many people will go crazy when they hear this. They will get all up in arms about what a terrible idea it is to spend what amounts to the cost of one dinner at McDonald's a month to have their mortgage completely automated and set up so they can be debt-free almost a decade ahead of schedule. These people are being penny-wise and dollar-foolish. They will be missing the point, which is that by setting up a bi-weekly mortgage payment plan, you can create in just a few minutes a simple, completely automated system that will free you of debt much earlier than you otherwise would be, bringing you that much closer to being an automatic millionaire. And not only that, but as a value-added service, the companies that run bi-weekly payment programs often review your mortgage statements annually to check for mistakes your bank may be making in crediting your mortgage. This is a tremendous service. Whether or not you make extra payments, always watch your mortgage like a hawk. Banks make mistakes all the time on crediting mortgage payments, and if they are not caught, these mistakes can cost you big money. Two simple ways to accomplish the same thing at no cost. Okay, so you've listened to my argument, and you're still thinking that you don't want to spend the money. You like the idea of being debt-free early and automatically, but you want the dinner at McDonald's this month, and you don't want to spend money to set this up. I understand. I happen to love McDonald's. Seriously, don't worry about it. Here are two simple ways to accomplish almost the exact same thing without paying a fee. No-fee approach number one. Whatever your mortgage payment happens to be, just add 10% to it each month. For instance, using the example from the chart on page 20 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file, let's say your monthly payment is $1,834. 10% of that is $183. If you paid exactly $183 a month extra on that mortgage each month, that is, instead of sending the bank $1,834, you sent them $2,017, you would end up paying off your home in 22 years, saving approximately $129,000 over the life of the mortgage. To run this calculation yourself, again, you can go to www.bankrate.com, click on calculators, then mortgages, and then a mortgage calculator. If you don't want to do this yourself, simply call your bank and tell them you're interested in paying an extra 10% towards your mortgage and you'd like them to mail or fax you an amortization schedule. They should be willing to do this for free in just a few minutes. Given the lack of setup costs and transfer fees with this approach, you could wind up saving about $15,000 more than you would with a biweekly mortgage plan. Once again, The key to making this work is making it automatic. If you're like most people, chances are you won't write a check for 110% of your mortgage payment every time. Regardless of what's going on in your life at the time, you'll always be able to come up with a good reason why this isn't a good month to make the extra payment. The way to avoid this trap is to make it automatic. Arrange to have your mortgage payment transferred from your checking account automatically. No-fee approach number 2. Whatever your mortgage payment happens to be, simply pick 1 month a year to pay your mortgage bill twice. That is, send the bank one extra payment a year. My suggestion is that you do this in May or June, hopefully just after you've received your tax refund. Whatever month you choose, don't just send the bank a check for double the normal amount. This will confuse them. Instead, write two checks for the regular monthly amount. Send one in with your mortgage coupon as always. Send the other one with a note explaining that you want the entire amount applied to your principal. This will give you the same cost savings as a 10% extra plan with no extra charges. All things being equal. Truth be told, while these no-fee approaches will work, in the real world, very few people will actually make the required extra payments, whether they are once a year or once a month. So here's my recommendation. Decide if you want someone else to do this for you or if you want to handle it yourself. If you want help, first reach out to your bank and see whom they refer you to and look at the costs involved. Also call PayMap, the company I discussed earlier, for comparison. Have the company send you all the information they have on their bi-weekly mortgage payment plans and then read it. Even if you don't use their services, you'll understand more about the power of paying down a mortgage early. Think through if the added cost is worth it for you to completely automate paying your home off early. If you decide not to go this route, then I would recommend that you try the first no-fee option, paying an extra 10% on your monthly mortgage payment. You can automate the extra payment simply by increasing the size of the automatic transfer you arrange between your checking account and your mortgage lender each month. Questions to ask your bank. Whichever route you take, there are a couple of questions you should ask your bank or mortgage company first. Can I make extra payments on my mortgage without penalty? The answer should be yes. You should never sign up for a mortgage that charges a prepayment penalty. If I send in extra money beyond my required mortgage payment, what do I need to do to make sure the extra payment is used to pay down my principal? You must ask this question. Amazingly enough, standard operating procedures at most banks is to take extra payments and hold them in a non-interest-bearing account. In other words, not use them to pay down your mortgage. The bank will probably tell you that you need to send them a letter specifically requesting that your extra payment be applied to your principal. Ask them if they have a form letter to this effect that you can sign. Some banks may even ask you to send them the extra payment, that additional 10%, separately. If you've automated your mortgage payment, this should be no big deal. Your bank would simply automate two fund transfers a month on the same day. What if I have a plan to live in my home less than 30 years? Earlier I pointed out that the average homeowner lives in their home less than 10 years. So why should you bother trying to pay off your mortgage early if you're probably going to sell your house and move? The answer is automated forced savings. The faster you pay down your mortgage, the faster you build equity in your home. When you sell your home, you cash out that equity. At that point, you can either use it to help you buy a new home with a smaller mortgage or use it to increase your savings. Either is great. Why the banks hate biweekly mortgages. Most banks don't encourage these payment plans. Why? The basic reason is obvious. Money. Banks make a lot more money on a loan if you pay it off over 30 years as opposed to, say, 20. There are other reasons as well. When you make extra payments, the bank has to handle your money more often than it would if you were only paying once a month. This increases their operating costs, but that's their problem, not yours. As an automatic millionaire, your concern is saving money and speeding to the day when you are debt-free. That's why the bi-weekly mortgage plan, or simply paying a little extra each month, makes sense. This one idea, if implemented properly, can return the investment you made in this book about 6,000 times over. More important, it can make you richer faster and able to retire sooner. Proof, once again, that information is power when you use it. Automatic Millionaire Action Steps, Chapter 6. Here's what you should be doing right now to become a debt-free homeowner automatically. If you don't already own your home, make the decision to become a homeowner. Go to www.eloan.com and calculate how much you can afford to spend on a home. Go to www.bankrate.com and use its calculators to see how much you can save by making your mortgage payments biweekly. Decide to pay off your mortgage early by using the biweekly mortgage payment plan or by making payments yourself and adding something extra, either each month or once a year. If you're interested in a biweekly payment plan, contact your bank and ask them if they offer such programs or can refer you to a company that does. Whatever you decide to do with your mortgage payment, make it automatic. Now that you've learned the secret to debt-free home ownership, let's find out how to overcome the one remaining hurdle that keeps most people from getting rich, the deadly financial trap of credit card debt.
Chapter 7. The Automatic Debt-Free Lifestyle.
For most of us, debt can be a trap that forces us to work longer than we should have to. What puts us in debt are bad habits, such as running up big balances on our credit cards and then paying them down slowly, if at all. You can be hurt and held down by habits like these, or you can take action to break them. One of the most important lessons in this book is that automatic millionaires don't do debt. In this chapter, you are going to learn a series of concrete steps that will enable you to regain control over your credit cards and stay out of debt in the future. If you don't happen to have any credit card debt, you should still listen to this chapter because it will motivate you to stay debt-free. Borrow money to make money, not to lose it. One reason Jim and Sue McIntyre always avoided credit card debt was that they were raised by very old-school, Depression-era parents. If you know anyone who lived through the Great Depression of the 1930s, you may have heard their stories about what it felt like to have total poverty everywhere. There were no jobs. People had no money. While some stores offered credit to good customers, credit cards, as we know them today, didn't even exist. What this meant was that if you didn't have any money, you were in trouble. As a result, people who lived through the Depression came out of it with an intense dislike of being in debt and a powerful belief in the importance of saving. Ask any survivor of the Depression what they think about debt, and I'll bet the answer you get is similar to this. The only time borrowing makes sense is when you do it to buy something that can go up in value, like a home. Tell the truth. Are you big hat, no cattle? People in Texas have a great way of describing somebody who tries to look like more than he really is. They call him a big hat, no cattle guy. In other words, he may look like a wealthy rancher, but in fact, there's no ranch, no cattle, no nothing. Just a big hat, and probably a fancy car. Every day, I meet people who look rich. You probably meet them too. They have nice clothes, drive nice cars, and sometimes even live in nice homes. But when you peel back their finances, what you find is they don't own what they wear or drive or live in. It's all rented or paid for with plastic. All they really have is a heaping mound of credit card debt. What about you? The average American family owes $8,400 in credit card debt. Try this hat on for size. All told, Americans currently owe about $500 billion in credit card debt. That's just credit card debt, mind you. It doesn't include car loans, mortgages, or other debts. That works out to be about $8,400 per household. Why most Americans will be paying off their credit cards for the rest of their lives. Now, what do you think most people do when their credit card bill arrives each month? If you said they pay the minimum amount due, you're right. Guess how much it will end up costing you to pay off an $8,400 balance on a credit card that charges 18% interest if you only pay the minimums each month? The answer is $20,615. But wait, it's really worse than that. At this rate, you'll be paying off your balance for 30 years. If you pay just the minimum due each month on an $8,400 credit card balance, you will wind up having to make 365 monthly payments before it goes to zero. That's 30 years and 5 months worth of payments. And that's assuming you never charge another dime on the card, never get hit with a late fee, and are never billed for an annual service fee. Can you imagine it? 30 years and 5 months worth of payments, and that's for a card that charges 18% annual interest. Many cards charge much higher rates, some as high as 29%. Here's the bottom line. You cannot, I repeat, cannot become an automatic millionaire if you run up credit card balances and pay only the minimum due. All you'll accomplish doing that is making the credit card company rich while you stay poor. How one day of shopping can take 13 years to pay off. The most dangerous thing about credit card debt may be how easy it is to get sucked in. Take the common practice many retailers follow of offering you a discount if you agree to sign up for a store charge card. Here's how it works. Imagine you're at a local outlet of a national clothing chain and you've picked out $1,100 worth of new outfits. Let's say 3 shirts, 2 sweaters, a pair of pants or dress, and a pair of shoes. While ringing up your purchase, a really nice, chipper, good-looking salesperson will smile at you and ask, "Wouldn't you like to save 10% on your purchases today? You know, you could save more than $100 by opening one of our charge accounts. It will only take a minute." A typical shopper trying to be smart will think, "Oh, great, I'll save $100. Let's do it." Now imagine that when that bill arrives, you make the minimum payment due, which is exactly what the store hopes will happen. If the interest rate is 18%, the $1,000 balance will take you, are you ready for this, 153 payments, or nearly 13 years to pay off. By then, the clothes will be long gone, out of style, and you will have paid more than $2,100 for your $1,000 purchase. It's a great deal for the store. It's a terrible deal for you. So here's my suggestion for what you should do when that chipper salesperson asks you if you want to earn yourself a discount by signing up for a store credit card. Just say no. Repeat after me. No. No, I don't want a credit card. No, I don't want a 10% discount. No, I don't want 6 months of free interest. No, no, no. How much do you owe? By now, I hope you are highly motivated to get out of debt and stay out. So here's the question. Do you have credit card debt? Yes, I've got it, but not for long. How many credit cards do you have in your name? How about your spouse or partner? How many credit cards are in his or her name? So now let's go to your children or your dependents. How many credit cards in their names? Okay, now for the whopper. What's the current outstanding balance owed on all of these credit cards? Now, find out, what's the average interest rate you're paying on these balances? Beware of the quick fix. It's important to be realistic about credit card debt. You're not going to be able to solve your problems overnight. It probably took a long time to get into trouble with credit card debt, and chances are it will take you a long time to get out of it. With this in mind, you should be suspicious of so-called experts who claim they can solve all of your credit problems with some magical quick fix. If you're drowning in debt, there are reputable credit counseling firms that can help you come up with a plan to pay off your debts. One of the most highly regarded referral services is Consumer Credit Counseling Services, otherwise known as CCCS. CCCS is an offshoot of the National Foundation of Credit Counseling, the nation's oldest national nonprofit organization for consumer counseling and education on budgeting, credit, and debt resolution. It has more than 1,300 local affiliates around the nation. You can find one near you by telephoning toll-free 800-388-2777 or by going online to www.nfcc.org. When you contact Consumer Credit Counseling Services, you'll be referred to a nonprofit credit counseling group in your area. When you call to arrange a meeting with this group, try to find out as much as you can about what they can and can't do to help you. One important question to ask is whether using their services will hurt your credit rating. And before you sign on with anyone, check with the local chapter of the Better Business Bureau to see if they have any complaints lodged against them. Operation No More Debt. Okay, let's get down to the tools. There are 5 concrete steps you should take to get out of credit card debt and stay out. Step 1, stop digging. Let's start with the basics. If you're in a credit card hole, meaning you have credit card debt and you want to get rid of it, then you need to stop digging. What does this mean? Well, in order to stop digging yourself deeper into the hole, it probably would make sense to throw away the shovel. In other words, get rid of your credit cards. After all, a person who wants to get out of credit card debt but carries credit cards in his wallet is like an alcoholic who wants to stop drinking but carries a bottle of vodka around with him. I speak from experience here. I used to have a huge problem with credit card debt. When I was in college, I racked up more than $10,000 in credit card charges, buying clothing, furniture, stereo equipment, and other things. Things I really didn't need and couldn't really afford. After trying all kinds of self-control exercises, I discovered the only one that worked was to stop going shopping with my credit cards in my pocket. Step 2. Renegotiate the interest rate on your debt. Once you've acted to prevent things from getting any worse, you can start trying to make your current situation better. The basic goal here is to make paying off your credit card balance as easy as possible. The easiest and most effective way to do this is to get your credit card company to lower the interest rate it charges you. Here's what you need to do in order to accomplish this. First, find out how much interest you're paying. Pull out your credit card statements and read the fine print. What's the interest rate you're currently paying on your balance? You may find it difficult to figure this out. After all, the credit card company doesn't really want you to know how much you're paying. If so, call the company and ask them exactly how much your debt is costing you. Tell them you want to know the effective rate, not the rate above prime. They will understand this question, and by law, they have to answer truthfully. The effective rate is the overall rate of interest, otherwise known as the APR. Second, ask for a lower rate. Once you've found out the interest rate you're currently paying, tell the credit card company it's too high, and you'd like them to lower it. Do this with all the credit card accounts you have. If the company says no, tell them that you will be closing your account this week and transferring your balance to a competitor who offers better rates. So there's no doubt about your seriousness. Tell them the name of the competitor you have in mind. It shouldn't be difficult to come up with a name, since you're probably getting applications in the mail from credit card companies who want you to transfer your balances to them. By the way, don't waste time by discussing interest rates with the first customer representative who takes your call. Always ask to speak with a supervisor. Supervisors have the authority to give you a lower rate right then and there on the phone. In many cases, you can cut your rate in half simply by asking. You can even get them to waive the annual fee for your card. Third, consolidate your debt. If you have several credit cards, a really effective way to make it easier to get out of debt is to consolidate all of your balances on just one card. Again, all you need to do is just ask. When you're negotiating with the credit card companies to lower your interest rate, tell them that you're prepared to move all your credit card debt to the company that offers you the lowest rate. What's low? Well, smart negotiators always do some research first. In this case, go online to www.bankrate.com or www.lowermybills.com or check the business section of your local newspaper. See what the national average is for credit cards and ask for half of that. Even better, ask the credit card company what it is offering to customers like you who are willing to consolidate their debt. Let them try to sell you. You may find that in order to get all of your business, one of your credit card companies will offer to waive all interest charges for 6 months. If so, be careful. Ask them what the rate will be in the 7th month and remember it. It may jump to 25%, in which case you will need to move once again to a new card company. Of course, the game here is not credit card debt shuffling. It's finding the lowest rate you can and then following the next 3 steps to get yourself out of debt. Step 3. Pay for the past. Pay for the future. Earlier we saw how the kind of wealth you will build is determined by the way cash flows through your life. With that in mind, I suggest you make it a goal to pay yourself first 10% of your pre-tax income. However, if you have credit card debt, you really do need a different plan. Here's what I suggest for people with credit card debt. Whatever amount you decide to pay yourself first, split it in half, with 50% going to you and 50% going to pay off your debt. So for example, let's say you're earning $50,000 a year and have decided to pay yourself first 10% of your pre-tax income. Normally this would mean you'd be putting aside $5,000 a year or $416 a month for yourself. But if you have credit card debt, you split the $416 a month in half, putting aside $208 a month for yourself and $208 a month to debt reduction. The reason I suggest splitting your pay-yourself-first money in this way is so you can make progress on your future while you're getting yourself out of debt. The rationale here is as much emotional as it is financial. By doing both these things at the same time, you will feel your progress. You'll see money being saved and debt being reduced. If you were to direct all of your available cash flow to debt reduction, with the idea that you wouldn't begin to save until all your credit card bills were paid off, it might literally be years before you could begin saving for the future. This is too negative. So negative, in fact, that many people who follow this path get discouraged, give up early, and never get to the saving part. I call my system Bury the Past and Jump to the Future. Try it. It works. Step 4. Dulp your debt out of existence. As I described earlier, the easiest and most effective way of getting out of credit card debt is to consolidate all your balances in one account and then, as I suggested in step 3, use half your pay-yourself-first money to pay it down. But what do you do if for some reason you can't consolidate your debt? The answer is to dulp your way out of debt. I first described the dulp system in the Finish Rich workbook. The basic idea is to rid yourself of credit card debt once and for all by paying off all of your balances and then closing all your credit card accounts. In other words, your credit cards are going to be debt on last payment, or DOLP for short, D-O-L-P. Of course, when you have a lot of credit cards, figuring out how to pay them all off can be pretty daunting. Do you pay a little on all of them at once? Or should you concentrate on one card at a time? And if so, which one goes first? This is where the DOLP system comes in. Here's what you do. Make a list of current outstanding balances on each of your credit card accounts. Divide each balance by the minimum payment that particular card companies want from you. The result is the account's DOLP number. For example, say your outstanding Visa balance is $500 and the minimum payment due is $50. Dividing the total debt, $500, by the minimum payment, $50, gives you a DOLP number of 10. Once you've figured out the DOLP number for each account, rank them in reverse order, putting the account with the lowest DOLP number first, the one with the second lowest number second, and so on. The table on page 21 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file entitled DOLP, Debt on Last Payment, shows you what this list should look like. You now know the most effective order in which you should pay off your various credit card balances. Take half of your pay-yourself-first money and apply it towards the card with the lowest DOLP number. For each of your other cards, you make only the minimum payment. In the example on the DOLP chart, the card with the lowest DOLP number is Visa. So each month, you devote half of your pay-yourself-first amount to reducing your Visa balance, while making the minimum payments on your other cards. Once you've DOLPed your Visa account, that is, paid it off entirely, you close it down and turn your attention to the card with the next lowest DOLP ranking. In this case, MasterCard. You should continue doing this until you've DOLPed your way to being debt-free. There is a blank DOLP table included on page 21 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file that you can fill in to create your own personalized DOLP list. Step 5. Now, make it automatic. Setting up an automatic payment plan for your credit cards is actually easy. Simply call your credit card company and tell them you would like to arrange for them to make an automatic debit from your checking account each month. If they can't do that, then check with your bank and see if they offer online bill paying services that allow you to arrange to have money automatically transferred from your checking account to your credit card company on a specific day each month. As I explained, the amount of the debit should be one half of whatever you've decided to pay yourself. Automatic Millionaire Action Steps, Chapter 7. Reviewing the steps we've laid out in this chapter, here's what you should be doing right now to get rid of your credit card debt, automatically. Stop carrying credit cards. Renegotiate your interest rates. Consolidate your debt. Or if that's not possible, start dulping your credit card accounts. Decide to devote half the money you pay yourself first to paying off your balance. Make it automatic by arranging for your credit card company to debit that amount from your checking account each month. We're almost done. There's one more chapter to go, and it covers something many people who want to be millionaires don't think about, but should. How to get rich by giving back. Specifically, How to Make the World a Better Place by Automating Your Charitable Contributions and Tithing. Free, My Gift to You. In the Finish Rich Workbook, I wrote a detailed chapter on credit card debt. It covers how to get out of debt, how to fix your credit rating if you have a problem, and where to go for help if you need it. It also includes sample letters you can write to the credit card companies to get them to correct your credit record, and outlines what legal protections are available to keep collection agencies from harassing you. If you feel you need more help in this area, I'd like to offer you this chapter for free. You'll find it posted on my website at www.finishrich.com.
Chapter 8. Make a Difference with Automatic Tithing. We make a living by what we earn. We make a life by what we give. Winston Churchill.
Having bought this audiobook and listening to it all the way through to the final chapter makes you a very special person. Many people buy books about money or audio programs like this, but very few actually finish them. So congratulations, I'm proud of you. I hope you've been inspired to take some simple actions that will have a dramatic impact on your life over the long term. The principles you've learned over the course of listening to this audiobook are tried and true strategies for building wealth and financial security automatically. They are timeless. Put them into action and you will reach your financial dreams. But don't just focus on the result. You deserve to enjoy the journey. Becoming an automatic millionaire is not simply about accumulating wealth. It's also about relieving stress and worries about the future, about putting yourself in a place that enables you to enjoy life now as well as in the future. In other words, having an automatic plan should not only change your future, it should also change your present. With this in mind, I'd like to share one last step in our journey together, one that enables you to feel like a millionaire right away, even though it may be years before you actually become one. How can you do this? By being a giver as well as a saver. Specifically, by using the tools that will enable you to become an automatic millionaire and to make the world a better place. There is more to life than money. The idea that there is more to life than money may strike you as a strange thing to hear in an audiobook like this about how to become a millionaire, but it's true. And deep down, we all know this. Now don't get me wrong, money is good, and I sincerely hope that you get all the riches you want. As the saying goes, I've seen rich and I've seen poor, and rich is better. But money will not give your life meaning. It really won't. Why is it that we pursue wealth? I think we do it not for the things that money can bring us, as nice as they may be, but in order to achieve a feeling. We may believe we want a nice car, a $1 million bank account, a large home, money for retirement or our children's education, but ultimately what we really want is the feeling these things inspire in us. Well, here is something to think about. As far away from your financial goals as you may think you are right now, you're much closer to achieving that feeling than you realize. In fact, even though you probably won't become a millionaire for years, it's entirely possible you could start experiencing that feeling in the next few weeks. Would you like to know how? Having it all through tithing. What I'm about to share with you is a system that has been around nearly as long as civilization. It's called tithing. What exactly is tithing? Tithing is the proactive practice of giving back. It is a spiritual principle common in many traditions that says you should give back a portion of what you receive, that those blessed with abundance have a duty to help others through gifts of kindness, time, ideas, and money. What is amazing about tithing is that when you tithe, you get a feeling we often associate with acquiring material things. You simply feel great. We think more money and more stuff will make us feel great, but this isn't always the case. Haven't you ever really wanted something, only to get it and wind up a few days later, the excitement gone, feeling strangely empty and disappointed? With tithing, the more you give, the better you feel. You've probably heard of this. Chances are that you're familiar with the concept of tithing. More than likely, the first time you heard about it was in a religious context, in your church, your temple, or your mosque. The word is based on the old Anglo-Saxon word for tenth. And the original idea was that you were supposed to donate to charity 10% of what you harvested from the land each year. But there is more to tithing than percentages and agricultural productivity. Tithing is not about following tradition or trying to rid yourself of guilt or hoping for some future reward. What it is really about is giving for the sheer joy of giving. But here's something amazing. Although you should simply give for the sake of giving, the reality is that abundance tends to flow back to those who give. The more you give, the more comes back to you. It is the flow of abundance that brings us more joy, more love, more wealth, and more meaning in our lives. Generally speaking, the more you give, the wealthier you feel. And it's not just a feeling. As strange as it may seem, the truth is that money often flows faster to those who give. Why? Because givers attract abundance into their lives rather than scarcity. Americans are a very generous people. As a people, Americans are incredibly giving. In 2001, we donated, ready for this, more than $200 billion in charitable contributions. And more than 3/4 of that was given by individuals. Indeed, 9 out of 10 American households contribute to one or more charitable organizations. Moreover, approximately 93 million adults do some sort of volunteer work, with the average volunteer donating more than 4 hours of his or her time each week. That's a pretty impressive record. And what makes it all the more impressive is the fact that by definition, all this effort is unforced, the result of nothing more than the desire of people to make the world a better place. Sure, the government gives tax breaks to people who donate money to qualified charities, and being known as a philanthropist can improve your public image. But when it comes down to it, most giving is genuine. How to tithe? Should you tithe? Ultimately, it's a personal decision. Still, I'd like to suggest that if you're not doing it now, give it a try. Take a percentage of your income and start donating it to some worthy cause. You could donate the 10% traditionally associated with tithing. You could donate more, or you could donate less. As I said, tithing is personal. It's not about percentages, but about the love of giving. What's important is simply that you get started. You might want to start small, say by giving only 1% of your income, and then let your contributions grow over time, just the way I suggested you start with pay yourself first. Not only will the process of starting create a momentum in your life that will change your destiny, but you will also be helping others in the process. If this sounds at all attractive to you, consider the simple 5-step plan for tithing that follows. If you're in a relationship, discuss it with your partner. See if it feels right. If it does, give it a try. You will be amazed how much doing things for others can do for you. For tithing to work, it needs to be a consistent commitment. It's just the same as pay yourself first. If you donate a set percentage of your income every time you get paid, you will compile an impressive record of contributions. If you wait until the end of the year to see what is left over, then you will wind up donating less, maybe even nothing. Obviously, now that you've paid off your credit card balances, I'm not suggesting that you go back into debt in order to be able to tithe. Select a percentage that feels right to you and that you know you can manage. Once you've done that, make a commitment in writing to donate this amount on an ongoing basis. A sample contract with yourself can be found on page 22 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file. It's called the Tithing Commitment. The Tithing Commitment. Starting on, pick a date, I will tithe to the charity, blank percentage of whatever I earned. Signed, write down your name. Whatever amount you decide to tithe, arrange to have it automatically transferred out of your checking account on a regular basis. These days, doing this is easier than ever. Most organized charities will be happy to help you arrange an automatic transfer schedule, where they automatically debit your checking account on a regular basis. And many are set to do it online in just a few minutes. If you're not comfortable having your bank account debited by a charity, you can probably set up an automatic transfer through your bank's online bill payment system. Most banks offer this service. Simply call yours and ask. Where you donate your money is entirely up to you. The most important advice I can give is this. Make sure the charity to which you are giving your hard-earned dollars really uses the fund it collects to help the people or cause it is supposed to be helping. Keep in mind that charity is a big business, and that the administrative costs can eat up a huge percentage of charitable contributions. As a result, there are many charities that wind up spending most of what they take in, not on the people they're supposed to be helping, but on their own salaries and office overhead. Not too long ago, I got involved with a cause that was important to me. I donated a week of my time and raised nearly $20,000 in cash contributions, only to discover later that less than 40% of what they got actually went to the cause. While this money was still a huge help, I was disappointed that a higher percentage didn't reach the promised recipients. Now, virtually no charity can pass through 100% of what it raises, but they can certainly do better than 40%. Experts recommend looking for charitable organizations that pass through at least 75% of what they raise, and staying away from those that pass through less than 50% due to high administration, management, and fundraising costs. So be a smart giver. Before you give, do some research and ask some questions. Here is a list of organizations that can help you learn more about potential recipients. JustGive.org. This user-friendly website is a great place to start, providing links to and information about a large number of organizations and causes you may want to consider supporting. Give.org. This is the website of the BBB Wise Giving Alliance, a nonprofit information clearinghouse formed in 2001 as a result of a merger of the National Charities Information Bureau and the Council of Better Business Bureaus Foundation and its philanthropic advisory services. The Alliance collects and distributes information on hundreds of nonprofit organizations that solicit nationally or have national or international program services. Before you make any donations, you should definitely see what they have to say about an organization you're thinking of contributing to. GuideStar.org. Formed in 1994, GuideStar aims to make charitable giving easy by doing the research philanthropists know they should do but don't always have time for. Its website is loaded with solid and helpful data. IRS.gov. Before you donate money to any organization, you should make sure it's recognized by the IRS as a bona fide tax-exempt charity under Section 501(c)(3) of the tax code. To do this, visit the IRS website and request Publication 526, Charitable Contributions, which covers in great detail what you need to know about charitable giving and documenting donations for tax purposes. You can also call the IRS toll-free hotline at 800-829-3676 to request that they mail it to you. To encourage Americans to give more, the U.S. government has long allowed taxpayers to deduct contributions to qualified charities. Depending on how much you give, you can offset as much as 50% of your income in this way. Of course, just because an organization calls itself a charity, that doesn't mean the IRS will let you deduct contributions to it. In order for a donation to be deductible, the organization must formally apply for and be granted tax-exempt status under Section 501(c)(3) of the tax code. As we noted, you can verify this for any particular organization by visiting the IRS website. For contributions of less than $250, the IRS requires that you keep some sort of written record, such as a canceled check, a letter or receipt from the recipient, or a bank or credit card statement that verifies the where and when of the donation. If you give more than $250, the IRS wants your proof of donation filed with your tax returns. You should be aware that not all charitable donations are 100% deductible. Say you spend $500 on tickets to a charity event where you play in a golf tournament or attend a gala dinner. Because you've received a benefit in return for your contribution, only a portion of your donation will be deductible. The charity should be able to tell you how much of your contribution you can actually keep track of your deductible contributions. In recent years, a new type of mutual fund investment has appeared on the scene specifically for charity-minded investors. Called donor-advised or charity funds, they allow people to invest their money for charity benefit later but get a tax deduction now. These funds offer a number of benefits, among them instant tax deductions. Once your money is deposited into one of these funds, you can take a tax deduction based on your IRS limits that same year, even though the money may not actually go to a charity until some later date. More money for charities. One of the neat things about these funds is the tax advantages they offer to people who want to donate securities that have substantially appreciated in value. Say, for instance, you bought a stock or mutual fund whose price subsequently soared. Instead of selling it, paying a hefty capital gains tax, and then donating whatever was left over, you can simply deposit the stock into a charity fund. While you take your tax deduction immediately, the investment can continue to grow tax-free until you direct the fund to cut a check to a selected charity, a check that is bound to be much larger than what the charity would have received after a straight sale. Less pressure. These funds are great for people who know they want to give and would like the resulting tax deduction now, but don't yet know whom they want to give to. You simply put whatever amount you want in the fund, take the deduction, and then make up your mind at your leisure about the right charity for you. Creation of a legacy. As your wealth grows, and it will because of what you're doing, you will increasingly be in a position to make a lasting difference in the world. Donor funds allow you to build a real charitable base for your family, since more than one person can contribute to the fund. It's important to understand that once you invest in one of these funds, you've made an irrevocable gift. You can't get it back. The money has to stay in the fund until you direct the fund to give it to charity. Here are three established donor funds worth considering. As of now, the minimum initial investment in each is $10,000, with follow-up contributions starting at $250. Hopefully, as time goes by, the minimums on these funds will be lowered so that more people can use them. Fidelity Charitable Gift Fund, 1-800-682-4438. CharitableGift.org. Schwab Fund for Charitable Giving, 1-800-746-6216. SchwabCharitable.org. That's S-C-H-W-A-B charitable.org. The T. Rowe Price Program for Charitable Giving, 1-800-564-1597. Programforgiving.org. Some of the world's wealthiest people tithed before they became rich. If you study the lives of the great leaders, visionaries, and business people of our time, you will find a surprisingly common thread linking many of them. Long before they made their fortunes, they started tithing. A great example of this pattern is Sir John Templeton. Arguably one of the world's greatest investors and a billionaire many times over, Templeton is recognized today as much for his philanthropic deeds as for his investment savvy. But Sir John didn't wait until he became rich to start tithing. He was a giver from the beginning, even when he could barely afford to make his rent. Back in the days when Templeton and his wife were earning only $50 a week, they paid themselves first, 50% of their income, and they still managed to tithe. And he became a billionaire. Something to think about. Automatic Millionaire Action Steps, Chapter 8. Reviewing the steps we've laid out in this chapter, here's what you might consider doing to become an automatic tither. Decide how much of your income you want to give to charity. Pick a charity you care about and trust and have researched. Automate your charitable donations on a monthly or biweekly basis. Keep track of your donation for tax purposes.
A final word. Your journey begins today.
If it's so easy to become an automatic millionaire, why don't more people do it? The answer is human nature. Most people simply don't do the things they know they should do. Most people want to do well financially, but they never find the time or the energy to set themselves up for success. They hear about a program like this, but they invent reasons to ignore it. It sounds too easy to be true. They say, become an automatic millionaire? Yeah, right. Or worse, they buy a program like this one and get all excited about it, but they don't do anything with their new knowledge. Don't be one of these people. Keep in mind that you've already done something incredible. And you're now ready to change your future forever. You've taken action to buy and listen to this audiobook. It's possible you've already begun acting on the ideas you've learned about handling money to pay yourself first and make it automatic. If so, great. If you haven't yet begun, now's the time to start. Don't wait. The Automatic Millionaire Program is based on simple principles that work. They're not difficult to implement. You just need to start. Go back and listen again to whichever chapter inspired you the most. Maybe like me, you found the story of the McIntyres touched a nerve, leaving you feeling, if they can do it, so can I. You would be right, by the way, to believe this. Maybe you're curious about figuring out your latte factor. I know from hearing from so many of my readers of my previous books that this simple little concept has changed thousands of lives. Can it change yours? The fastest way to find out is to go back to the Latte Factor Challenge on page 6 of the Automatic Millionaire Visuals file and track your expenses for one day. See what happens when you do this and see how motivated you become to pay yourself first. Maybe you really love the idea of muscling your way in line ahead of the government and paying yourself first. So why wait? Tomorrow, sign up for a retirement account at work or open up an IRA at a bank or a brokerage firm. And make it automatic, so there's nothing further you need to do to keep the money rolling in. Remember, when you make your savings program automatic, you don't need discipline. You don't need time. You'll be paying yourself first, automatically. Maybe you were struck by how much less worry there'd be in your life if you had a rainy day account that funded itself automatically. No matter what your circumstances, it's so much easier to enjoy life when you know you have several months' worth of expenses in the bank. If that sounds attractive to you, use the steps in Chapter 5 to become one of those rare people who actually has a financial cushion to fall back on in case of emergency. Maybe you're a renter who was encouraged by Chapter 6 to become a homeowner. The fact is, you can't really become an automatic millionaire if you don't own your own home, and now you know how to become a debt-free homeowner automatically. Maybe you're deep in debt, and you are motivated to adopt the automatic millionaire debt-free lifestyle described in Chapter 7. It really can help you if you take action. Or maybe you were inspired by the idea of giving back. After all, wealth is not simply a matter of money, it's about a way of life. The more you share, the more you get back. So err on the side of giving more than you think you can give, and just watch how much abundance flows back to you. In the end, whichever part of the automatic millionaire program appealed most to you, there is one question you should focus on. Why not? Why not apply what you learned in this program? Why not automate everything financial in your life? If you don't like the results, you can always go back to whatever system you were using beforehand. Of course, my guess is that you won't want to go back. My guess is that once you set the automatic millionaire process in motion, you'll be happy to let it keep doing its thing while you get on with your life, no longer stressed about money or financial security. Before you know it, your future will be brighter. Instead of worrying about money, you'll be on your way to becoming an automatic millionaire. Maybe you'll go a step further and teach your friends to be automatic millionaires so they can take this journey with you. Imagine your life 5 years from now with money in the bank, no debt, a home of your own, and a plan in place that will enable you to become rich and give back something to others. Imagine if those you really love were on the same journey. As you follow in the steps of Jim and Sue McIntyre and all of the other automatic millionaires it's been my good fortune to meet, I want you to know that my thoughts and prayers will be with you. I know that you're a very special person with unique dreams and gifts. I know you deserve to see them come true. Most importantly, I know you can do it. If this audiobook has touched you, I'd love to hear from you. Please share your success, challenges, and inspirations by emailing them to me at success@finishrich.com. And until we meet again, enjoy your life and enjoy the journey. Make it a great one. This has been David Bach.
The Automatic Millionaire was written and read by David Bach. It was recorded by Charles DeMontebello at CDM Studios in New York. Editing and post-production by Common Mode, Paul Fowley, Technical Director. The production assistant was Ina Ballard. The associate producer was Suzanne Wetzel. The Automatic Millionaire, a powerful one-step plan to live and finish rich, was produced and directed by Paul Fowley. This has been a presentation of Simon & Schuster Audio.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.